Committee of the Whole meeting is called to order, and let the record show that all the aldermen, save for Mr. Pawlak, are with us tonight, and by phone we have the venerable Alderman Dorothy Flanagan. Hello, Dorothy.
Hello, good evening.
It's the voice of God.
Oh.
Isn't that impressive? Item 1, folks, is to consider the consent agenda. All items, all one item, is considered to be routine. That is, of course, the minutes of the Committee of the Whole meeting of July 27th are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion.
So move.
Second.
Ooh, Singer makes the motion, and the voice from beyond, Flanagan, makes the second.
Great, I got it in.
You did get it in. Now you can go back to American Idol. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Item 3A, consider request for Geneva Bride to host Geneva Wedding Walk at Geneva Commons, Sunday, September 20th, 2009.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes a motion, and always the bridesmaid, never a bride, Mr. Marks makes the second. Questions or comments for Ms. DeVita? Apparently no one's into the whole marriage or wedding thing, so it's like, this is going to be fun, isn't it?
It's exciting because it's going statewide. Marketing consortium.
Right. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor of white gowns that cost way too much, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3B, consider professional engineering services with ERA in an amount not to exceed $15,000 for the Dunston Road drainage improvements.
So moved.
Second.
Singer and Maladra. Singer with the motion, Maladra with the second. This is a an item I know many of our residents along Dunston Road are certainly excited to see resolved, and I must say for the record that Mr. Dinges and his team have been nothing but persistent and diligent in keeping an eye on this, so thank you guys very much. And thank you, Mary, for offering the word, since I couldn't think of them. This is like I've got my two, Questions or comments for Mr. Dinges?
Yeah, I just had a comment, and Dan, I sent you an email about this. I appreciate the this week. It talks about the firms that we considered. This is a professional services gig. We don't have to go with the low bid. We go with the most qualified bid, and I think that staff, as a rule, does this all the time. They just don't include in the packet the fact that they do comparison shopping, if you will. So if you guys can continue to do that, I think it would be great.
Anyone else? We have a motion by Singer, a second by Maladra. All in favor of item 3B, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3C, consider execution of easement agreement for Pepper Valley Units 2 and 3 for underground electric cable replacement project.
So moved.
Second.
Flanagan makes that motion. We give it to the lady in waiting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Alderman Marks makes the second. By the way, Dorothy, Alderman Marks was rolling his eyes because you made that motion.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
I don't see the camera on him yet, but I still don't think he's rolling his eyes.
Questions or comments?
There he is.
There. He looks a lot different on TV, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
I thought he was moderately good-looking for a while, but then I watched
him. And then the TV came in,
Any questions or comments? Lively crowd tonight here, Dorothy. We have a motion by Flanagan, a second by Marks on item 3C. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Simple question of information here. Do we know how many are still outstanding at this point? Are we almost to the end?
Mr. Dinges is going to answer that, and I think I sensed a slight gasp by Mr. Dinges when Mr. Brown asked that question.
I don't know the exact number. I know there are a few out there still that...
Still a few left. And you're still encouraging people to consider it.
Exactly.
Thank you.
It's actually been a very successful program. Yeah, very successful program, which is great. We have a motion and a second. We have already taken the vote, I believe, so...
We're
just
done.
Checking. I just want to make sure Stephanie's awake over here, too, because, God forbid, I get away in the evening without being criticized by the three ladies over here. Item 3D, consider contract with Ruan Construction in an amount not to exceed $6,500 for the foundation construction on Lincoln Highway gazebo at northeast corner of City Hall property located at 22 South First Street.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Piper, seconded by Vogelsberg.
Question?
Yes, Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mayor. What's going to happen to the bike rack that's out there? Is that going to be moved, or is it going to stay there, or what's going to happen to that?
The gazebo will actually be built just west of the bike rack, so it'll stay as is.
Okay.
And the gazebo is going to be built just west, and then the sidewalk brought to the south of the bike rack.
All right. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
I have a question.
Yes, and then Mr. Brown.
The conveyor, if needed, what is the conveyor part of this that they're talking about that would be $1,200?
That's,
I wasn't quite sure what that meant.
If they couldn't get the concrete truck close enough to the site where they would be pouring the concrete, they use a conveyor to be able to extend it.
Oh, okay.
It's close enough where they'll be able to use the, just go straight from the truck, so no conveyor will be required.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Brown?
Well, I will continue to vote against it, as I have in the past, because I think this is probably the least traveled sidewalk that we have in our whole downtown area, and I think it's the wrong place to put it. But since it's being put there, so be it. I will continue to vote against it.
Anyone else from the dais? We have a motion by Piper, a second by Vogelsberg. All in favor of the motion, which is item 3D, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Let the record show that we have two nay votes, Mr. Singer and Mr. Brown. The remaining were affirmative. The motion does pass. Item 3E, consider professional engineering services for a water and sewer rate study with Rempe Sharp & Associates for an estimated cost of $20,000.
So moved.
Second.
Brown makes the motion, and Mr. Marks makes the second.
Question.
Questions or comments from Mr. Van Gescom? Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess this is something that we can't do with our present staff to make this kind of a study, because I suspect that they're going to recommend that we increase them. And are we hiring somebody to do that so we don't have to take...
Well, we are going to spend considerable amount of time, and that's why the amount has been decreased. Rempe Sharp is willing to work with us on that to reduce the cost significantly. So myself and Don Weiss, and I'm sure Dan and Mary will be spending quite a significant amount of time putting numbers together. Rempe Sharp has given us the spreadsheets that they have used in the past, and we are going to be filling those in and using our numbers and doing a lot of legwork that probably normally they would have done.
And then what will they do?
Well, they will be putting our numbers into, you know, their format, and if you go through their the general scope of which is in their on page 3 of 6 of their proposal, it really lists out what they want to accomplish by this and give us their recommendation on units of service, unit costs, distribute those appropriately, and give us their recommendation based on their knowledge and history with the city. And do you have anything to add on that?
Well, could I take a shot at paraphrasing, maybe?
Bob, please.
So the work that you'll be doing is gathering the input. They're going to apply it to their models.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else, Mr. Hill?
Well, in other words, we don't have the time, or I'm not sure of our ability to do that same task.
No, I think we're already putting in considerable amount of time doing this, and in the past, we've relied on an outside consultant to give us their recommendation. I don't think that we have the capability, as far as the modeling, like Alderman Ladra had said, to really make a thorough recommendation to you based on those numbers.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else on the dais? Mr. Dantino.
Bob, was $20,000 was budgeted?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I wanted. Thank you.
Anyone else? According to my notes, we have a motion by Brown.
Someone from the audience.
Oh, excuse me. Mr. Devine, welcome, sir.
Good evening.
John Devine, just want to make sure I understand this correctly. We're going to spend, we're proposing to spend $20,000 to determine how much we're going to raise the water and sewer rates?
Incorrect. We're going to be investing $20,000 to determine whether or not our current rates are at the level they should be in order to pay off the investments we've made to the system overall.
So basically you're paraphrasing what I said.
No, because what you said is there's an automatic... When you make the investment with Rempe Sharp, therefore there must be an increase? Not necessarily.
Okay, I'll do a follow-up.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, we did a rate study in 06 and the rates were not raised, I believe. I don't think we've raised rates according to this since 03, but we did do a rate study in 06. Is that correct?
I think it's partially correct, right?
That's correct. There was a rate study done in 06. There was a revision done in 07 based on that, and we continued it another year, actually lessened the impact to the citizens based on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's an assumption that we want to hire a third party to tell us bad news because we're not either courageous enough or brave enough to tell the citizens ourselves. Not the case. Not the case. In fact, I would argue that by hiring a third party, it provides even greater objectivity, which clearly was what we're all about.
I guess I'd be inclined to agree with you if we weren't in the economic times that we are currently. I'm still questioning whether this is money well spent at this time, $20,000.
I respect
that. Thank you.
Yeah, I respect that. Anyone else in the audience? Mr. Brown from the dais.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it should be pointed out to the citizen that both the waterfront and the electric fund are enterprise funds. Their books are kept completely separate from the books of the city, and they have to be balanced on their own. So this money does not in any way come out of the general fund. The study is done so that indeed that enterprise fund will remain whole and can honor its obligations and its bonds, etc., because we are required by state law that the water and sewer fund and the electric fund stand on their own from an accounting point of view. I think that's correct way to state it, isn't it?
Yes.
They are independently audited and must balance their own books independently of the rest of the city coffers. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments for Mr. Van Gescom or any member of the committee or from the committee? We have a motion by Brown, a second by Mr. Marks. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Unless there's additional information provided between now and next Monday evening, this item will be on the consent agenda on August 17th. Item F, 3F, is to consider payment agreement with Fox River Institute of Medicine in the amount of $14,317.12 for electric service work.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Vogelsberg and seconded by Marks. Questions or comments on 3F? Mr. Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What arrangements are being made as regarding the payment agreement? How is that being done? Is that collected from them on a monthly basis or quarterly? Or?
Yeah, we actually have it specific dates listed out on the agreement.
August 5th,
which he's already made that payment. September 5th, October 5th, November 5th, and the last one is November 15th due to the time requirement. Should he fail to make that payment, it takes for us to notify the bank that we're going to draw on the letter of credit.
How much is their letter of credit?
Their letter of credit actually is in $178,000 right now. The invoice for the electric is $14,000, so it clearly covers it.
Now, does this include some kind of form of interest on this?
We have not included interest at this point.
Why don't we do that?
We can do that.
I think we should.
What interest rate would you recommend?
Well, whatever the market called for. Mr. Reese would probably have a better understanding of that than I would. Why are we giving these people our money to use at no interest rate?
I agree. It's not something that happens all the time. We try to avoid having to pull a letter of credit.
Why don't we do this, Mr. Dingus and Mr. Singer? Why don't we ask the staff to factor in what that might be by adding interest, and then move this forward on a conditional approval?
We can do that.
And we can bring that additional information back on the 17th?
I'd appreciate that.
And Mary, did you understand Mr. Singer's? Okay, great.
It does cost money to pull a letter of credit. I presume it takes some legal work and some staff time.
Certainly does.
So by getting the the company to agree to payment scheme, we've saved staff time and also legal money, I suspect.
There's been some legal expense just dealing with the current situation, drawing up the license agreement, so I mean, I don't know if we should be including legal fees as well.
We should be including those.
We haven't?
We haven't to date.
Typically in the past, the city has, and the consumer who's in default has worked out agreements, because it's better in the end to get the payments than to go through court suits and legal problems, etc. So this is something the city has traditionally done for as long as I can remember. There's a person who is has a problem and can't pay their bill but is willing to come forward and work out a payment scheme, the city does it. Same way the president's encouraging people to do with their mortgages.
Would one not think that this letter of credit that is sitting there in a bank someplace, who would not think that that probably is collecting interest on that amount of money?
Well, I think what my understanding of a letter of credit, the person that purchases that letter of credit pays a portion, a percentage of whatever that dollar value is.
Oh, okay.
And that's an annual fee that he pays. I believe that fee is coming due in November, so he's wanting to get this off the books as quickly as possible, and he's agreed to the payment terms that we have. I haven't discussed interest or attorney fees or any of that with him yet.
Well, I certainly would agree with your suggestion, Mr. Mayor. Is there a need for a motion on this, or should we?
I don't think so. I think just staff direction is sufficient, and if when Mr. Dingus advances this matter for the agenda, if that item's not included, then we'll make certain it is. So, but Mr. Dantino.
You've already presented this amount to him already?
Yeah.
You think you'd have trouble going back to him for more then?
I mean, he's asking us for this payment plan, so and I told him conditioned on getting your approval. So, to me, we'll come up with something, and I can discuss it with him and let him know that if he's interested, he can attend the meeting and make his case if he'd rather not.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else on item 3F?
I just wanted to step in, and I agree with Alderman Singer, to see if there's some way that we could capture a interest off of that dollar amount, because I think we've actually carried that bill for a year. Mm-hmm. Am I mistaken? Or?
Since October of last year, October, November last year.
Yeah, almost a year, Dorothy. Yeah, 10
Yeah,
months.
So... That would be I would certainly agree with Alderman Singer on that issue.
But should we table this motion then, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. Yeah, we can come back. We have a time. We have time in 7 days to bring back a recommendation or bring back those numbers that you're requesting. If at that time we wish to table it, we can certainly do so. And obviously, we provide the gentleman and/or firm an opportunity to comment as well. So
that amount does include the late fee, I presume.
Right.
Yeah. Of course. So.
Anyone else on item 3F? The motion by Vogelsberg and second by Marx remains. All in favor of a conditional approval on item 3F, pending additional information provided by Mr. Dinges and his team with respect to interest-bearing effects, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Thank you, Dan. Item 3G, ladies and gentlemen, is consider an increase in the telecommunications tax rate from the current 4.5% to a proposed 6%. for matters of discussion. Is there a motion to so recommend?
So moved.
Ooh, Piper makes the motion and Mr. Singer makes the second. Questions or comments from Ms. McKittrick, who authored the memorandum to all of us? Mr. Maladra.
Mary, who pays this tax?
The revenue generated from this increase would be paid by users of telephone services, whether they be landline or cell phones, or via the internet.
So basically everybody.
As you may have read incorrectly in the newspaper that it does not apply to voice over internet protocol, it does apply to that. So just to make that clear. And as I stated in the memo, and for the audience's benefit, it equates to approximately 75 cents additional per month on a $50 phone bill, or $9 more per year.
Okay, thanks.
Applies to cable too, is that correct?
It does not apply to cable. It's a telecommunications tax that would apply to cell phones, landline phones, and voice over internet protocol telephone service. The question came up, I believe Alderman Singer may have asked the question about bundled services, and I did a little research just for your information with the Illinois Department of Revenue. If services such as internet and cable and telephone are bundled together, they are required to separate those out, and the telecommunications tax would then apply just to the telephone service. If for some reason the provider does not separate those out, which would be in conflict with the law as well, then it would apply to the whole bundled package. But it is just for telephone service.
Mr. Maladra, the floor is yours.
Well, since you mentioned the papers, one thing that I did not read in the papers that I think is a very important part of this discussion is the fact that we have cut costs. Can you go into that?
Yes, we, as you all recall, and some members of our audience may recall, this March we presented to the council proposals for the general fund budget, as well as our enterprise fund budgets, as well as the miscellaneous budgets. We decreased our general fund budget by 20%, and we decreased all budgets overall by 12%. And we continue to look at expenditures and be careful about those. The reason that we're bringing this to you now is because we've just ended the first quarter of the year. And I meet weekly with staff, and we're constantly monitoring the situation. And with the information, the data having been recently received on the first quarter, it was evident, again, a correction of something that was misstated in the newspaper. It's our income taxes that are down about 25%, which will, if those trends continue for the rest of the fiscal year, equate to about $500,000 in loss through income tax. The telecommunications tax is down about 1%, but this increase would generate approximately $300,000. So even that in and of itself does not completely make up for the projected loss if the income tax continues to spiral downward at its current trending rate.
Okay, so our budget was conservative to begin with. We budgeted cutbacks, 20% in the general fund, 12% overall. We also took a very conservative position on our estimated revenue. So when you mention income tax is down 25%, what did we expect?
Zero. We anticipated a 0% increase. We were advised, we receive projections from the Illinois Municipal League. We did our own trending analysis for our sales taxes and projected that those would be down about 15%, and we're just about right on target. We looked at the municipal league's projections for income taxes, and it did change several times. But we were even more conservative than what they had anticipated. It started out around 6%, and then they dropped it to around 3% over last fiscal year. And we thought we would be even more conservative than that and just project a flat rate, no increase whatsoever. It's 25% below zero increase that we projected. So, and that's been steady for the last 3 months, the first quarter of the year, and that's why we're bringing it to you at this time. You know, we realize that we need to do something. We need to continue looking and monitoring our expenditures, which, as I said, we do weekly. You know, staff meets on this weekly. We're looking at capital costs. I believe we'll be looking at a rather large capital expenditure in the near future to discuss whether or not that should be made. So we're constantly monitoring, and we have looked at one side of the equation. We have looked at the reduction of expenditures, and we'll continue to do that. But in order to be fiscally responsible, we need to look at the other side of the equation as well to see if the revenues are where they should be or where they could be that would have the least impact to the community at the same time.
Okay, that's it. I just wanted to make sure that we put the discussion in the proper light, and I think we did.
Mr. Marks, Mr. Brown, Ms. Vogelsberg, Mr. Pfeiffer.
Mary, just one question. There's a deadline on this also for it to go into place, isn't there? I mean, that's also why we're looking at it now. Is that correct?
There is a small time frame that this can be approved and get to the Illinois Department of Revenue and go into effect next year. The ordinance would need to be approved and to the Department of Revenue no later than September 20th. It would become effective then January 1st of the new calendar year, which is about three quarters of the way through our fiscal year. So it's going to, if we go ahead and this is approved now, it will be most helpful to next fiscal year, but really won't go into effect till the end of this fiscal year. So between now and the end of the fiscal year, we will need to make additional expenditure reductions.
Okay. I just wanted to know.
Anything else, Mr. Marks?
No, that's all.
Mr. Brown, then Ms. Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two questions. The first, something sounds a little funny with the 25% since we read in the paper that employment has dropped from 95% to 90%, which is a doubling of the unemployment, but that's only a 5% drop in the number of people employed. Do we know whether the state is either withholding monies or whether they've changed the rules on the percentage we get for... Certainly the total income in the state has not dropped by 25% from everything I read in Barron's.
Alderman Brown, I can't correlate the two formulas. The state has not changed the formula nor their distribution. All I can tell you is that based on the revenue that we have received, it is 25 or thereabouts. This month it was closer to 27%, but it's running on average about 25% below what we projected, which was zero increase, which is 25% lower than last year at this time.
The other question that, of course, I get from constituents is, well, what exactly is, why is this telecommunications being taxed? What expenses does the city have which require us to ask for a certain percentage tax on telecommunications? And although these companies do use our towers and they do use our poles and everything else and their trucks use our streets, etc., is there any other reason we can give to explain why it is to the public that a telecommunications tax to the local municipality actually makes sense?
I guess I would say in response to that, no more sense than it makes to income tax. It's a general operational tax that is allowed in distributive funds through the state. The state collects these funds. They allow municipalities to incur a tax as well for use of airwaves, if you will. And those revenues can be applied, generally speaking, and not restricted funds.
Because in some sense, this is a service tax, and there are very few service taxes, as you know. There's lots of goods taxes, but there's very few service taxes, and this, in some sense, is a service tax. So there are, of course, suggestions by many people that all services should be taxed. But so this is slightly different category, and as I say, citizens do occasionally ask, exactly why is it? But I can think of some things where the city does contribute, you know, with maintaining our poles, maintaining our streets, and maintaining the work we do to allow the telecommunications companies to put their equipment in and use easements, etc. The staff is always putting time in working with these telecommunications companies to make sure we have good telecommunications in this town. So to me, it is justified that there is a tax, but it's a little hard to explain to some people. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Vogelsberg, then Mr. Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mary, I agree with Alderman Malaja. The memo was really, really good. I think it was good. It's always hard to have consider a prospect like this, and I think it was good to have the whole history of exactly how much the staff has done to cut the budget, cut spending, and how successful all the departments have been this year. And there's so many things out of our control, just like every other company. So I thought this was an appropriate way to gain additional income, because it seems like it has a minimal impact on residents, and more of a user fee, which I appreciate. But also, what I hear from people is people don't want to see more services cut. And right now, I mean, we're not comparing. If we don't get this, we'll cut services. But that is the one thing I've heard out in the neighborhoods, is people don't want to lose services. So we do have to do something to increase our general fund. And since this is a, like I said, it seems like a minimal impact, I'm going to support it. Thank you.
I'm going to recognize Mr. Piper, then Ms. Flanagan, do you want to speak as well?
I might have a comment, yes.
Okay, Mr. Piper's questions have been answered.
Yes,
okay, Alderman Flanagan from outer space.
Yes, well, not actually, outer space.
That's right. Pepper Valley, outer space.
Out of the city space, how does that sound? I just, in past years, I haven't really been excited about taxing or increasing this tax rate on telecommunications. But I feel that this year, based upon, as was already outlined or spoken about, is that our general fund is being impacted by other problems that we're having regarding sales tax and property taxes and stuff like that. So I'm going to support this bill, but again, I normally don't like to, no matter how minimum it is, but I feel that in order not to cut our basic city services, we have to somehow find some money somewhere, so I will support it.
Thank you, Dorothy.
You're welcome.
Anyone else on the dais? Anyone from the audience? Mr. Devine? Just so everybody knows, when Alderman Flanagan speaks, we actually have an image of her on Channel 10.
No.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Oh, I'm watching.
Oh, shoot.
Hologram.
So the picture you took.
Mr. Devine.
Yes, Mayor. I have a problem with this increase being 33 1/3%. I think that might be a little large in this economic environment. I don't necessarily oppose a slight increase. I think 33% is a little large at this juncture. I'd also like Mr. Brown maybe to add to his comments as to the telecommunication companies using the roads, the poles, our towers, etc. It's my understanding that they're also paying to use our towers, so there is some revenue being generated. And my final point is, I could see, as I said earlier, an increase, but I'd like to see a little bit sharper pencil taken by the city administrator and the staff towards cutting expenses, and I'd like those detailed a little bit more, as opposed to just general language saying we're meeting once a week, we're looking at all expenditures, we're cutting where we can. I'd kind of like to hear in more detail what has been cut. For example, and I'm not saying this is necessarily an example, but I looked through the accounts payable listing that was provided at the last city council meeting, and without getting into specifics, but just, you know, I'm going to use a 50,000 foot approach here. There were a number of items listed on there for telecommunication for the city. Now, has anybody done a study of what the city is paying in telecommunication? And I take that to be mainly telephones throughout City Hall, Public Works, cell phones, etc. And I only bring that up, not that I want to specifically point out telecommunication in the city, but what expenditures are being looked at, what expenditures specifically are being reduced, as opposed to automatically saying revenues are down, we're cutting expenses, so now we need to generate revenue. And I think not only at the last meeting, but at the last committee of the whole meeting, we had a discussion. It was specifically about the SSA, generating a little bit more revenue there. Okay, this is another little bit generation of revenue. And I haven't really seen any uptick in the economic climate around here. So I still think that we're in a situation where we have to be very, very careful as to the additional burden that we're going to put on the taxpayers. Now, this is a type of tax. It's a service tax. There are a number of communities in the state of Illinois that do not even render this tax. This is something that is totally arbitrary by the communities involved. So we're already at 4.5%. There's a number of communities that are at 0% for a telecommunication tax. So do we automatically want to go to 6%, or do maybe we want to ratchet this thing up to 5%? That might be something we want to consider. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I'm not certain where to begin or if your comments warrant a response or not, but are you looking for a specific response on some of your comments?
No, I wanted to generate some thought.
Okay.
You know, I don't necessarily need a response, but maybe for the future when we start talking about cutting expenses, we could be a little bit more specific and cite some examples.
Well,
you know, last year, for example...
Well, Mr. Devine, you have a copy of the budget, if not a hard copy. You certainly have one online.
That's right.
You also have a copy of the executive summary that Ms. McKittrick put together that actually shows, line item by line item, where that budget was, to use your words, a sharper pencil was applied.
I mean, and once again, I've already taken up way too much time on this. I apologize up front.
Nobody has anything to do tonight.
Exactly. Well, I do. We have a budget, right, Mayor? That we projected. As we go forward, we're noticing, I'm using the city administrator's own words here, you know, revenues are down. Okay? In the same sense, expenses, are they down or are they up? You know, now, are we cutting out things that we don't necessarily need? I mean, she brought up that there's a capital expenditure coming up possibly that's going to be eliminated. I'm not asking for it tonight. You know, that may be eliminated, but there could be other items that we're going to need to look closely at.
Absolutely.
I've already heard from some of the aldermen that constituents are saying, hey, we don't want services cut. Well, I don't know how many constituents are saying that. All I'm saying here is, I'll say myself as a constituent, I'm a fiscal conservative. So if I have to give up a few services, so be it. I don't necessarily want my telecommunication tax, I don't want my real estate taxes to go up in this current environment. Now, I don't know how many people in the community agree with me. Maybe there's nobody.
I would argue that perhaps everybody agrees. I agree with you. I don't want my taxes to go up either.
So all I'm saying is before we rush into this thing, and it's a 33% increase in the rate.
But and obviously you're not privy to the, I would argue, four-year debate regarding this. This issue has actually come before this committee several times prior to Ms. McKittrick's tenure as city administrator, and we actually deferred consideration of increase in the telecommunication tax on at least two separate occasions.
And
some
should,
of the reasons you've said.
And you should be applauded for that.
No, applause does not come easy, nor do we seek it. And that's not
no,
the issue.
I'm not saying you
and
do.
We're not doing things for applaud purposes. If that was the case, we'd all be in, you know, steel beam theater.
What I'm saying is, I congratulate you for
St. Charles business, of course, but you heard here tonight, 20% of the general fund was cut. 12% of every budget was cut. And again, I hate to use, you know, cliches, but now we're not just striking the bone now. We're actually striking the marrow in the bone. And
at the
I
risk of being argumentative. At the risk of being argumentative, in all budgets, I think most people with common sense would say that there's a little fat in just about every budget.
Well, the assumption is that we have no common sense, which, of course, I know you don't mean. I know you don't mean that. But I can, Mr. Devine, you and I have a...
That was a general statement. It wasn't directed at anyone here. I'm just saying, in most budgets, there's a little fat. So out of that 20%, was that all fat, or was 10% fat, you know, 5%?
I would invite you to ask the department heads whether they were fat, because we had spirited debate as to what programs must be eliminated, what programs have to be eliminated, what our constituents would like to see enhanced. Let me give you an example. Our budget is not thin. Our budget is anemic. Our budget, I mean, we are virtually suffering from bulimia financially. It's unbelievable. The state of Illinois, for example, said, congratulations, city of Geneva, we're going to give you $300,000. But however, we've never really bonded for that money, so you might not get that for years to come. We're not trying to overburden our citizens with additional tax revenue, but as an example, the email I received last week from a citizen saying how disappointed they were that we don't have more free mulch. Now, the Irish side of me would like to respond back saying, what? But of course, I don't. So there is a constant chorus among our citizens, whom we all respect, admire, and serve to the best of our abilities, to say, if something has to go, what is it? Our general fund pays for our fire department, our police department, and other departments. If Mr. Devine is standing up here tonight, which I know you're not, saying I'm willing to eliminate two additional police officers, I'm willing to eliminate perhaps...
I'd like to go for four, maybe.
I'm sure you would, but, but that's a heck of a debate. So we're doing the very best we can, and we're asking the citizens to contribute to our efforts. And I think most citizens would say, you know what? An extra 75 cents a month, I'm willing to contribute that.
Well, just for the record, I don't think my comments were out of line.
No, I don't think they were either.
I think I simply proposed, instead of a 33% increase, something a little less. I didn't take a position that there should be no increase. Now, I mean, if you want me to take that position, I can, but I thought I was trying to be fair here and simply say, you know, a 33% rate increase at this juncture, okay, seems a little steep. Now, on the other side of the coin, or the ledger, if you will,
sure,
there are expenditures. I didn't imply that there hadn't been cuts. I'm well aware there have been cuts. I'm saying maybe there could be some additional cuts. That's all I'm saying.
In fact, I can almost guarantee you there will be.
Okay. And all I was asking was maybe those could be, as we're debating the telecommunication tax, we could add in whatever those cuts may be. Now, and it doesn't have to be. I'm not even advocating 100% cut. I'm saying, you know, if we're spending X amount of dollars for, let's say, copy or paper,
mm-hmm,
you know, maybe we could cut back one ream a month or something. You know, doesn't have to. We're going to eliminate 100%. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying maybe we could look into these items, and I'm not saying they haven't already been looked into, but we could take another look. And
oh,
then
absolutely.
when we come to these meetings, we could specifically say, you know, this is what we've eliminated, rather than in general terms. That's all.
Well, that's a fair statement, and those specifics are available to you and every other citizen who's willing to research them, because they're online, they're available. You want to spend time at City Hall, no problem. Speak to the department heads. You know, our department heads are actually measured not only on their performance, but actually how they also maintain costs. And when you speak to a department head and say, guess what, your budget's submitted, it's good, however, need another 5%, that's tough.
Yep.
But it's not impossible, and they've achieved that. And they've also achieved that under the guise of, guess what, there's no pay increase as well.
So. I'd like to thank you for the council for the time. I didn't mean to take this much time.
Mr. Devine, there's nothing to apologize about. Sir,
I would like to take into consideration the point that I brought up before. The telecommunication companies are already paying. There is revenue coming in.
That's true. Approximately.
Now, you're welcome to respond, but there is revenue coming in. You know, we're not letting them put that stuff on our towers free.
No, we're not. No.
Mayor, just for clarification, sure. That revenue is not coming into the general fund. It's going to the water fund.
Well, you know, once again, whether it's the general fund or it's the water fund, money's coming into the city. Now, how it's managed, okay.
It's not a matter of managing.
Well, what I'm saying, managed, depending on the fund that it's in. Some funds may be in a little bit better shape than other funds, but still, I'm talking in total, revenue coming into the city. Now, if we're going to start talking about specific funds, okay, I'll go do my homework, and then I'll come back, and we'll talk about the specific.
We are talking about specific funds. We're talking about the general fund.
Right.
And I can tell you that our expenditures are looked at daily by the department heads and weekly by the finance director and myself going over this. I don't bring this to the council without looking at it comprehensively, under a microscope, and very thoughtfully. I understand what it means to suggest that taxes are raised, but we can pretend like things are going to get better, or we can address a situation that I see spiraling downward. And we need to address it before we have to take drastic measures. Even by doing this, as I pointed out earlier, this will not address the $500,000 deficit in the general fund. This will bring in approximately $300,000 beginning next January. So between now and then, to make up that difference, we most certainly will be making additional cuts. It continues on a daily basis. And unfortunately, I can't provide you a list of those numbers of pencils and rulers that we continue to cut because it changes on a daily basis. I would waste more time and tax dollars on doing that than I would be on trying to figure out how many pencils and rulers to cut.
Yeah, I'm not looking for pencils and rulers. I'm looking for a significant dollar. If you were to say we cut or reduced $10,000, $15,000 out of the budget in the following area.
We cut $3 million.
No, I'm saying going forward. I know we've already done that, but now that we're in a little bit more dire situation, and that's why I said earlier, I think we need to sharpen the pencils, go back, and take a look at what we budgeted originally, where we made some cuts, and we may have to make some additional cuts. And where are those
do
cuts
that
coming?
Daily, Mr. Devine.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
We do that daily.
That's all of the citizens are doing that daily in their own personal budgets too. You know, and I don't know that they're necessarily saying that things are going to continue to be dire or they're going to be very positive going forward. Someone with a crystal ball, I think, really knows what's going to take place in the future. Now, using your point of this is going to generate $300,000, and you know we're $500,000 in expenditures. I don't even see that as a Band-Aid. Okay. I see that as simply saying, you know, we're going to generate additional revenue simply because we want to generate additional revenue.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, again, just for clarification, I didn't say we're $300,000 or $500,000 in expenditures. That's a projected number of the decrease in income tax revenue. That's not expenditures. That's what we're expecting to not receive.
That's why I have a problem, because it's only a projection.
Right.
But to your point, Mr. Devine, we don't have a crystal ball either. All we can do is project. And we project, as Mr. Maladra intimated, very conservatively, year in and year out.
And that's very good.
Right.
And back to my original point, you know, I didn't come up here and say, look, no no increase in telecommunication. I said, maybe we should consider less of a rate increase. That's all I said.
Understood. And again, I don't think anyone takes offense. I think this is a good spirit of discussion. This is exactly what these meetings are for. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. Hold on, Mr. Devine. Ms. Vogelsberg?
Oh, thank you. Really, I couldn't have said anything better than Ms. McKittrick, but I just had two clarifications. The one, because somehow this keeps getting lost in the discussion about that SSA1, that discussion was brought not to increase revenue. That was a housekeeping issue to shore up what always should have been done. Though we were not trying to get additional funds from those business owners, we were trying to make it fair across the board. All the other business owners were paying the tax, so we were just equalizing the playing field.
I understand that completely,
okay.
And I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying there's another, that's an example of additional revenue. You know, I didn't have a dog in that fight, so I probably should just keep my mouth shut, but I applauded you for trying to correct a situation where there is less revenue compared to the amount of expenditures involved. Okay, that made sense. Okay, in this particular example, you have a 4.5% rate right now. To take it to 6% is what I have a problem with. Okay, when there are a number of communities in the state of Illinois that do not assess this tax to begin with. But I took a position of, fine, we have a tax. It's not going to go away. Does it have to go to 6%? Could 5% maybe do in the interim? That was my position when I came up here,
and
that's
totally
my position as I leave.
The only my only argument against that is we got that same data. We could tell you every communication and what their community and what their telecommunication, right. But we're not looking at the community in totality. We're just looking at their telecommunication tax. So can we call those people up and say, you know, my neighbor got a new driveway and the guy hit the fire hydrant. Did it take that water department one day or 5 days to come out and pick it up? That's a level of service that you can't quantitate on a graph of. I'm just saying the analytical part of it is great. Let's look at just the telecommunication tax and let's do, one of the communities had zero. But then that's where you talk about a difference in service. So, and I think it's easy to say, should we have leaf pickup or should we not have leaf pickup? But I think the level of service that is harder to quantify is the length of time it takes to get the staff. Right now, our fire department is less than 6 minute response time. If we keep cutting, is it going to be 8 minutes? Is it going to be 10? When the sewers back up, will the water department not be able to afford to come out if it's not Monday through Friday? My only point is, it's easy to look at a graph and pick out the one thing, the telecommunications tax.
I apologize for interrupting you, but that's what's on the agenda tonight. We can talk about the other city taxes if you'd like, but I thought we were talking about the telecommunication tax.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't want to expand the...
Well, you can't bring
it
into
the... But you were asking about
I'm talking about it in relationship to other communities. There are a number of communities in the state of Illinois that don't assess it. That's all I'm saying, because they don't generate revenue.
We don't live there.
I agree.
Ms. Vogelsberg still has the floor.
Yes. Well, no, I'm sorry. And all I was saying is it goes in the general fund. You want to know what the general fund funds. I'm the one who brought up the neighbors asking for not to have a decrease in service. So that's all I'm saying. To me, it isn't just looking at the telecommunications tax because it's not an isolated incident. We would all love to say no tax. I'm just saying it goes in the general fund. There's a reason for it. And I think to have the same debate, the same amount of staff time every 6 months to inch it up half a percent, what's the dip? Are we really going to help somebody if we're asking them to pay $9 extra year? Are we really going to help them if they only pay $5 this year and $6 next year?
That might be important for some citizens, based on the economics we got. It's not just this tax. There are a number of taxes that, that residents, citizens of this country are, have imposed on them at this point.
Well, but, Mr., but this isn't a Tea Party.
No, I agree. It's not a Tea Party, yeah, but just here in the local community, there are a number of,
right. There's no question,
of expenses, taxes, levies, fees that are coming into play.
Yeah, you know,
so everyone that adds, I don't care whether it's 30 cents, a dollar, $2, you know, $9 a year, it's an added expenditure.
Of course.
For most citizens. That's all I was saying.
Well, I agree with you and I respect your comments. I really do. But I mean, obviously your comments engage discussion and that's the nature of the beast here. So it's good. It's good stuff.
Right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Mr. Marks.
Mr. Devine, I just wanted to bring up a point to you. I pulled up while you were talking the year-to-date June of 2009 for the general fund, and the expenses were budgeted for that period of $2,065,722. We've only spent, of that budgeted amount, we spent $1,937,279. We've already cut in that variance $128,000. I mean, the expenses are being watched. I mean,
right.
We look at those on a monthly basis. I haven't seen July yet, but I spent all weekend looking at these kind of numbers. I mean, our revenue was down $107,000, but we cut expenses for that period by $128,000. So, I mean, it's not like we're not trying to do what you're asking to do.
I didn't say you weren't.
No, I didn't say
anybody wasn't.
No, no.
In fact, the numbers.
I think you wanted specifics, and I was trying to.
I'm saying going forward.
No, I think that's what they're doing on a weekly basis, is looking at that, making sure that we're not spending.
I guess I didn't explain myself well enough. All I was saying is the next time we have discussions along these lines, whether it's 2 weeks from tonight or it's 2 months from tonight, instead of using a general phrase of we're cutting expenses, citing some specific examples, I think would resonate more with the citizens of Geneva rather than a general statement. That's all my point.
Well, I can give you specifics here. I mean, the police department's budget had less spending by $63,485 for that time frame. The city administrator's office is down $4,500. Administrative services have cut $2,200. There are.
I don't want to get into a line by line item right now.
Bear
with me. Just a second.
No. Guess what? I control the microphones.
Okay.
But you do want specifics. And specificity is what you're seeking. Specificity is what you're going to get. What you might not like the specificity, but
no, that would be great. But.
But we can't. Here's the problem. As you know, everything lags in a municipality. We don't get numbers until after all the reports are provided.
Exactly.
So we have to give you numbers in arrears. We can't give you numbers in the future. I don't know what the hell is going to happen in October.
That would be great.
What
Alderman Marsh just said is great.
Yes, it is great.
Okay. But how did we cut those expenses? How come they're down? What was eliminated? I mean, we budgeted. What did you say again?
Mr. Devine, I have the utmost respect for you. I truly do. But you have contradicted yourself again and again and again. You've demanded specificity, then you've got upset because we provided it. Now you've said, great, we've eliminated the police department budget by $63,000, but how did we do it? Well, I mean, we put 5 bullets in the chamber instead of 6.
Okay. You missed my point.
No, actually, I am baffled by what your point is.
My point was, once again, I'll try to say it slowly.
Okay. Thank you for the compliment.
Yes. We're talking about raising a tax rate. And then, as part of that conversation, the comments came in, general comments, that we're cutting expenses. My comment was, cite some examples. Don't just say we're cutting expenses. Now, what Alderman Marks just said was, here is what the budgeted amount was, and here's what we've expended for either 1 month or 2 months. I don't know what the time period was. Okay, how do we know without looking at? And once again, I know what you're going to say, but let me finish. You know,
I don't know what the hell I'm going to say.
The $63,000 I think he was talking about could have been 10 line items. It could have been 20 line items. Okay. On the other hand, the actual expenditure could have been the same thing, 10, 20 line items, or it could have been less, because some of the items in the budget are not on a monthly basis. Maybe they kick in quarterly, maybe they kick in the second half of the year, etc.
Okay.
All I was asking was, if we're going to say that we're making a savings compared to the budget, okay, pick out the biggest item out of the budget. If it was budgeted for $20,000 and we've only incurred $10,000, so we're $10,000 under budget, what was that for? Is it because we didn't hire an employee, we had somebody resign, so payroll is down? We decided to keep, since somebody brought up the police department, I don't want this to sound like we're picking on them, but let's say, for example, they have foregone getting a new squad car. They're going to use one that they've had for 2 or 3 years. So that would save $20,000. That, I think, would be something worthwhile hearing, is we're able to save $20,000 in this budget, or for the first quarter or the second quarter, the first half of the year, because we did not replace one of the squad cars. We're continuing to use one that we had. That's what I was looking for.
Mr. Marks, the floor is yours still.
That is fine.
Mr. Malagra, then Mr. Dantino.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, you're making no implication whatsoever that we do not watch our expenses as closely as we watch our revenues, correct?
Correct.
You're suggesting only that going forward, we continue to do what we're already doing.
Agreed.
And that we provide some example of what we're doing. 20% of the general fund, what's the dollar amount on that?
It's about
$3
million.
$3 million.
Okay, you want to hear about a $20,000 cop car? I just gave you $3 million that we're cutting. That's pretty significant. So for all this time, you've had nothing to say other than keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing, and oh yeah, once in a while, throw me an example of how you're doing it.
Not just me. I'm talking about the constituents. You know, I hope there's other folks that are interested in this besides
okay,
me.
Okay, so again, no implication that we're not watching expenses, correct?
I thought I said that from the get-go, Mayor.
So for Mayor, the last
isn't
hour,
isn't that what I said from the get-go?
I think the... If brevity is the better part of wisdom, we're all a bunch of morons, because we've clearly gone on, with all due respect. But I don't know what the hell you said at the beginning, quite frankly, because I've got a headache that's the size of Texas. And Mr. Malagra, the floor is yours. So.
Okay. That's all I was trying to do is just catch up, because I've been trying to watch this go around and around and around, and I believe what I've heard is keep watching expenses, which you said we do. Give us an example of how you've cut, which we did. $3 million, a lot of money. I think basically...
But I didn't hear... Where? You know, I think that's all
it's online.
But, you know, but it was in the budget, Mr. Devine, because I made that statement first.
Yeah.
You are one of the rare breed who probably read that budget from cover to cover. You know where we eliminated costs. You know where
we were now talking about, we set a budget to begin the year with, and these are the amounts that we anticipate incurring over the next 12 months. Now, we've gone by a couple of months in our current fiscal year.
Three.
Correct?
Well, we've gone by 3 months, our first quarter, correct.
So, well, I didn't know if you had the
months
or...
No,
whatever. We've got a couple of months under our belt, is what I'm saying.
2 months, you're right, excuse me.
Give or take a month. Amongst friends, who cares? What's a month? You know? But we've got some actual results.
Right.
Okay. The actual results compared to the budget is what we're talking about, saving $3 million in 2 months?
No. Our goal, so we're one quarter into a year during which our objective is to cut 20% of the general fund budget. Okay, we're doing that. That's our path. Our path also called for a certain level of revenue, which we're not seeing. But, you know, all I was getting at is, John, you know, it seems to me you're saying continue to watch expenses. We are. And
that would be silly not to say that.
Exactly. So we took 1 hour to say that. I just tried to...
Well, I think I tried to leave five or ten times and got called back.
But,
you know, and I said, thank you.
You can't pull the pin from a hand grenade and say, see...
No, I didn't do that.
No, but see, I didn't do
it. No, wait a minute.
We'll watch the broadcast of this. We'll see
okay,
what
we will. So. And my point was, originally, and it still is, about the telecommunication rate.
And we all respect that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mr. Dentino.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
You don't need me, Ralph, right?
No, I don't. Because I just changed my thing. I'm just going to ask you to call a question and move on.
Well, way to go, Ralph.
Way to walk in as the hero.
Mr. Dentino.
I'm so confused, that's all I can say.
Let the record show that Dentino is confused. Is there a motion to confuse Dentino even more?
Yeah.
We do have a motion on the floor, folks. We do have a second. We've heard some good discussion regarding this issue. Any other comments from the dais? Question's been called. Madam Recording Secretary, please take the vote.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dentino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Now, despite this vote being unanimous, it is in the best interest of, obviously, the council next week and the citizenry that this will not be placed on the consent agenda, much to the chagrin of perhaps some sitting close by. But this obviously will have an opportunity to be discussed as well next Monday night. So thank you all. Mr. Devine, thank you for your comments, as always.
Thank you. Thank you.
Folks, we are at item 3, correction, 4, new business. Any new business from the audience tonight? I think I saw Mr. Van Gescom sleeping. No? Mr. McQueen is here, our city treasurer. Isn't that exciting?
He signs our checks.
Apparently.
Can't sign our checks.
What's that?
I think it's Gene Gaines' birthday this week.
Gene, is it your birthday this week?
Happy birthday.
What exact day is it?
Every day.
It would be Wednesday.
So there's only one Wednesday of the week, so that would be this Wednesday. That's awesome. Congratulations. We'll have the flags at half staff for you. You're welcome. Any from the dais, new business? Just one, folks. Don't forget. Oh, Dorothy, go ahead. Excuse me.
I just wanted to, I guess some of the aldermen may have already seen this, where Bob Van Gescom, I guess our water treatment plant is going to be featured as one of the facility tours for the, let me just bring it up, Technology Transfer Workshop Membrane Treatment in the Great Lake Basin. And I thought that was really neat.
That is neat.
So I wanted to commend whoever got us there, and I will be on tour. I think it's really exciting.
Dorothy, you can't see this at home, but Mr. Van Gescom just mouthed, who the hell is Dorothy Flanagan?
I know, I've been gone, haven't I? I'll be back.
Ellen, we want to mention the History Center and our friends at the... Help me out here, Ellen. This is my lead to line... What? No, forgot the ice cream social coming up.
Oh, the library.
Between the History Center and the library.
Yeah.
Yeah, the History Center and the library. That's what it is. Coming up. Thank you, Dorothy.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you're here.
She's reading her mail.
Ellen, we'll have a discussion after the meeting. Stephanie?
I just wanted to make an announcement that city staff had submitted an entry in the What Makes Your Place Great contest, and we were notified that River Park entry is one of the finalists, and so we have more voting to do. They're going to choose 4 winners of just What Makes Your Place Great. It's Chicago places. So we'll put on the website where you vote, but you vote from August 10th through September 14th, and vote for River Park.
Excellent. And, of course, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, that each and every day you can vote as often as you'd like from a different email address for the Mark... I always get this wrong. MarkumMarkOfDistinction.com for the Paul Ruby Foundation. I have four email addresses, and I know Ms. Vogelsberg knows that I vote daily via those email addresses. This is about $25,000 to help research conducted via the Paul Ruby Foundation. So we want to celebrate this on August 24th when the voting ends, that we've done our share. So, anyone else? If not, I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Talk about violence. It's a motion by, we'll give it to Mr. Hill because he seems angry, and Dantino because he versus the end of the discussion.
I didn't say a word about adjourning.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you, Dorothy.
Thank you.